Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's doing okay. For some reason, we're still having a little problem with Robin's computer giving her a fit. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Rick.
How are you?
I am fine. I wish I knew what was wrong, but...
By the grace of God, right?
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go ahead and bring down the music on my end and let you ladies take over, and I'll be here if you need me.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
You're very welcome. Robin, you can go ahead anytime.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome everybody. It is Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, although a few minutes after. And I have Megan and Karen here with me for Wednesday night Bible study. Hello, Karen and Megan.
Hello.
Hello, Robin.
Do you all still hear the music?
Well, they'll take a couple of seconds until they actually hear your voice.
You know, hey, Robin, just so you know, the music's off. Just make sure that your music is also off on yours.
Yeah, my music is off. Hold on a sec. Alrighty, I think I got it.
You think you got it? You might have been hearing music in your own headphones from your Sam. So,
yeah.
All right. So you should be all set. I'm going to back out now, and you all have a great meeting.
Thank you, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
So, welcome everybody who has joined us tonight. We are going to enter into 1 Thessalonians. So, Megan and Karen, did you have anything you wanted to share before we got started?
No, just welcome everybody and let's get started. Unless Amen. Megan has something to say.
Oh, that's good enough for me, too. I agree.
So, Karen, would you read the first verse of the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians?
Paul. Oh, I was unmuted. Okay. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
All righty. You know, one thing that is very particular about this church, in Thessalonica, is their position, which was just stated there. They are in God the Father, and they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one thing that we want to really get a handle on and see as we go through Paul's letters to the Thessalonians is how they got to that place, how come what they did. This is the fruit of their choices and their actions, and it is a good fruit and one that we want to bear also. In the Lord Jesus Christ, that is that position and entrance that has been granted to us to be in the body of Jesus Christ. In God the Father, we want to go back and take a bit of a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And I think what we'll really do is refer to it, look back to it as we go through. But in John, you had the prayer that Jesus prayed for his apostles. And it is a very specific prayer because he prays to God, his Father, for them and not for everybody. It's easy when we read the word to take that which is spoken as though it is spoken and pertains to us, when oftentimes it doesn't, and this would be an example. And part of that prayer that he prays is that as he and his Father is one, so would his disciples and be one with them. And then as you go down through John 17, when you get to the 20th verse, you see that he also includes all those who will believe on him through the apostles' word. And that is the definition of what the Thessalonians did. Now, it's interesting because at the time of that prayer, there were 12 disciples, apostles, Judas being the one who went to hell in accordance with the word of God, that it might be fulfilled. But you see as we go through Thessalonians that Paul is an apostle, and that very same prayer that Jesus prayed in John pertains to Paul. And I can say that with confidence because you see that the Thessalonians, in hearing and receiving the word of God at Paul's mouth, entered in by faith. And, excuse me, that is the way in which God has set up his kingdom and his body and the entrance that we can find into him is in obedience to his word. And part of that word is in obedience to those who have the rule over us. And the Thessalonians were just that. They were obedient. And the word of God then bore mighty and pure fruit. And they were also a blessing to Paul and Timotheus and Silvanus. And we'll see that, but it's important to understand that the promises of God are received through the receiving of his word in accordance with his word. And the fruit of it is the blessings of God, which we're going to see the Thessalonians walking in. So, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we go over it a lot, the fact that grace is that unmerited or undeserved favor. It's not given to us because we're good. It's given to us because we believe God and we're dependent upon that goodness and that mercy because we plain and simple need it. And that peace where, because we have acknowledged our need and received the way by which we can be reconciled, we now are at peace or have been granted peace with God. We've been granted an entrance into his presence, being washed by the blood of the Lamb and clothed in his righteousness, so now we're able to be with him. Karen, would you like to pick up, or did either of you want to add?
Can I say something
before we head on? Yes, please.
something that you know has been said many times before is bringing back the attention, as you pointed out, to the grace. This is the church that's pretty much the, I think it's the only one that has the testimony of being in the Lord, that is in a right place as the body of Christ. And even so, they still need grace. You know what I mean?
I do. And you know, I'm really glad you kind of brought that back up, because our tendency and the religion that most people practice in the name of Christ is one of flesh, good works of the flesh. And, you know, salvation is humbling yourself before God in recognition that you have no good work. And rather than fall after the example of Cain, where you offer up that which is something you have done, you instead are accepting and dependent upon that provision which God has given. And so it really is a smack in the face of the idea that we in ourselves, in our flesh, that there's some good thing that we can do. The truth is, the only thing, and the only thing God asks of us, is to believe Him and His Son, whom He has sent. But that belief is, you know, His Word declares how one does that, and what it looks like, and what that act of faith, how one walks it, so to speak. And so that's what we're really here to do, is look and see what the Word of God says, and how then to turn and to apply it to ourselves, that we may walk by faith, that we may humble ourselves before the living God and serve Him and serve Him rightly. I was listening today, and I must say I'm not quite sure where it was, but you know, it's God's desire that everybody's saved. Now, we know that people won't, because they won't humble themselves to receive His gift of salvation, and that's exactly what it is. You got to humble yourself. But our job, like Jesus's job, is to declare Him so that those who will can, right? If it is His will that all men be saved, that should be our will. And the only way to join in even a hope of anybody being saved is to minister the Lord. And you know, if you go back to John 17, Jesus came and didn't do anything of Himself. He came and served the Lord. He did that, His Heavenly Father. He did that which God told Him to. At every turn, He wasn't about His business. He wasn't about His understanding. He wasn't about His way. He was attentive to God's leading. And when you go down through John 17, you see that He gives that same commission to His apostles, that even as He was sent into the world, which was to do the will of God, His Father, so He then sends His apostles into the world to do the same thing. And then those who believe on Him through their word then partake of that same calling, which is to die to yourself, die to your ways, die to your things, and instead be attentive and do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. And that's what the Thessalonians did. And they did it through obedience to the faith at the word of Paul. And another thing that John said, or that prayer of Jesus recorded in John, was that the apostles knew that what Jesus said was the word of His Father. And so it is that the Thessalonians and those who will believe today hear the word of God at the mouth of his apostles and prophets and believe it and know that that's where it comes from, not from them, but from God. And the fruit of it, as Megan said, is that place of in Christ Jesus and in God the Father. And that's the place to be. That is the what we need to be fighting to enter in and partake of. So, did you want to say anything further, Megan or Karen?
Nope.
So, Karen, if you'd pick up there on verse 2 and just read 2, 3, and 4, please.
We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God.
Okay. So these three men, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, they give thanks to God always for and lift the Thessalonians up to God in prayer. They make mention. They not only remember the Thessalonians, but they bring their remembrance before God. They make mention of them in their prayers, remembering without ceasing. So they're attentive and in constant remembrance of the faith of the Thessalonians and lifting them before God. These are some of the things they remember. Their work of faith. Now, I thought that was very interesting. I looked up some things, and I have a few scriptures I thought we could look at. But the work of faith, I think, simply put, is obedience to the word. And
reminds you of James, where he says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Yep. Yep. And if you look up that word, it is to work, to toil, an act, deed, labor, work. So as you said, Megan, it is an outward display of an inward belief, I guess is what you'd say. It's an action.
Yeah. It's talked of also as in one of the Gospels, I don't remember which one at this moment, but it talks of basically don't just hear the word, do it. If you hear it and you don't do it, it's worth nothing. But if you hear it, you've got to do it too, and that is faith. That's the work of faith.
Amen. So, let me see here. I think 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me see if I'm right here. If you look at Timothy and the books that Paul wrote to specific people, you see him then giving charge as to certain things to do. And this is a woman's Bible study. So in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, there's a little description of what I believe would be in this category. And it says, let not a widow be taken into the number under threescore years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. And then here's a kind of parenthetical of that. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So there is one example. And then Hebrews. I'm sorry for my pages turning, the sound of it. Hebrews 6:10. And it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." And then it goes on, it's worth reading this, and it says, "And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but be followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises." And that's important to understand, that we have a hope, and that we do not labor in vain. And then Hebrews 13:21 says, I'll go up to 20. It says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And the Thessalonians submitted to the God of peace and the salvation that came through the blood of the Lamb, and to him making them perfect in every good work to do his will. Not their own, but his. Another thing that I thought, just as one of the works of God, if you believe, is to tithe. Right? That's I guess it's not a work, but it is an act of faith.
It is an act of faith.
It shows your faith. Yeah. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. And I think we read about that in Hebrews, that patience of hope. You know, we have a hope, we have a promise, we have a God who does not lie, and we need to know that which he says shall come to pass, and to be diligent in ministering and in his ways. I also did look up patience and had a couple of scriptures that I think are worth looking at there. Maybe, Megan, you would look these up and read them rather than me pawing through my Bible.
Sure.
One of them is Romans 8:25. And patience is enduring, patient continuance. I like this one, constancy. Being constant in your hope and in your faith and in your labor of love and
that reminds me of, you know, not being like a wave being driven by the wind and tossed, like it says in James.
Yeah.
That you're constant and, you know, you're not wavering.
Amen.
Do you want me to read it?
Yes, please.
"But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it."
Maybe you need to read a little further. Hold on, let me
read back first.
Yeah.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
Amen.
One of the things that strikes me about verse 3 in chapter 1 of First Thessalonians is how these things all show the fight of faith. Your work of love, of faith. It is a, it's an action that is showing what you believe. It is believing and going forward in it. A labor of love, going forward again. It's work. It takes not work in the flesh, because that's going to amount to nothing, but, warring against unbelief and so striving in it. Because love, agape love, generally doesn't feel all that toasty. Otherwise it wouldn't be talked of as it is. It wouldn't be a commandment. It is a labor. Some people it's easy to have agape love towards, but, most of us at some point or another struggle even with those who it's easy to have that with. So it's a labor to have that agape love. Patience of hope, like we just read here. It's faith. It's believing that the promises are going to come, that it is worth fighting for, and believing the Lord, because his word is true. He is trustworthy, and going against your flesh.
Yes, and you described there, is there a God? Do we believe there's a God? And if so, do we believe the Bible is his word that he has given unto us to reveal himself by, that we might know him? Do we believe that? And if we do, then we are moved to do just what verse 3 says, in acknowledgement of that faith and that belief. You know what I'm saying? And it really comes down to, do we believe not only God in the sense of what the word says, but that there even is one? If we do believe that, then, geez, there's nothing else. And we happen, the thing is he is a good God. There is no evil in God. He is somebody that we should talk about a gravitational pull. We should choose and labor towards God, as though it was that gravitational pull, where really in life the gravitational pull pulls us away. But we have to really set ourselves and acknowledge the truth, and then do what it takes to embrace it, walk in it, adhere to it, believe it, choose it. And that is those things, as you say, Megan, the work, the labor, and then the patience, because there are promises if we will believe him, if we'll trust him, if we'll obey him, if we'll humble ourselves before him, if we will choose him over ourselves, if we'll, entrust ourselves. What did Paul say? He knew that God was able to keep that which he had entrusted to him. We gotta get to the place where we actually trust God. And these Thessalonians did, and they did in the presence of an evil world, even as we are in the presence of things that sought every which way to turn them from the hope they had in the living God. And yet they stood. And what does it say there in verse 4? Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. They chose or elected God as their Lord over everything else. They went to the ballot box, and there was Satan and all he had to offer, and there was God, and they elected God, you know? But Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus recognized this in these people. And that was the fruit of that election of God. And one of the beautiful things is they had the Apostle Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus, remembering them without ceasing and praying for them, making mention of them in their prayers. How cool is that? You want to read the next three verses, Karen?
For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia.
Okay. For our gospel came unto you, came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Now that word power there is that dunamis, miraculous power of God. And this is where I'd like to go back and just take a look at John 17. Because he says there, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And this is in accordance with that prayer Jesus prayed in John 17. And it says, starting in verse 20, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know that verse 23 there, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me. And this is talking about Jesus, and the purpose of all of this is so that Jesus and the gospel and that everlasting covenant of his blood be made manifest. And you see that they also fulfilled this in verse 7, where it says, so that they were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I mean, these people, in obedience to Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, were obedient to the Lord and received the word. And in much affliction, affliction is an absolute to all that serve the Lord and believe the Lord and walk even as he prayed in chapter 17 to his honor and glory, revealing him. The world hates God. The world is antichrist. And Satan wars against everything about God. And these Thessalonians suffered much affliction. There are lots of scriptures that talk about affliction. One thing I do know is that though the people of God are afflicted, God delivers them from all of their troubles, from all of their afflictions. And we need to remember that and know that. But it is an absolute. All who will serve the Lord will be afflicted. And the Thessalonians were no different, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, they had the joy of the Lord despite what was happening to them in the flesh and in their surroundings.
And that's an example of being dead to their flesh. And they were very close. You know, as Megan said, they still needed grace, but they were examples to all the churches around. And they were able to, separate their flesh from their faith in the Lord.
Yeah. Well, and Cheryl put in a thing, James 4:4, it says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." But you're right, Karen, if we cannot... we have to die to ourselves and live unto Christ to be able to pass through. Because our flesh naturally is going to go through all sorts of contortions at the rejection of the world. You know, and also because our flesh has a natural fleshly sinful desire to think highly of itself, you know, to have iniquity, to think it's something, to think it has something to offer, to look upon itself and call it good. And that's what the world is full of, is that idea. And to stand, notwithstanding our own flesh warring against us, and also the world that is in a constant state of seeking to destroy us and put us down and negate the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that one humbles oneself before a mighty God. And the world instead stands in pride and arrogance and in rebellion to that. And, you know, I mean, our flesh's tendency is just that too. So We got to understand these things so that we can war against them rightly and to stand notwithstanding all of these things. And I know one of the things in the ministers' conference was fellowship is food for the soul and the Word of God is food for the spirit. And we got to understand that we need to feed our soul and spirit if we're going to stand in the Lord and in his ways. And it kind of then goes back and speaks to verse 3 there, where their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope, these were activities they did singly but unto one another. And in that, they were built up in the most holy faith. And in that, they were a blessing to Paul. Paul, the word and that he ministered unto them bore good fruit. It fell on good ground, and it brought forth fruit. And this is the call of God. You know, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. These people chose that which, whose end was everlasting life. They submitted themselves to the word of God and all that that meant. So the affliction then was just, you know, it was just part of the thing, but these people entered in and into the body of Christ and into the love of God and into all the promises of God because they believed God at the word of the mouth of his apostle or apostles in this state. Paul's speaking for he, Silvanus and Timotheus. And that is right in line with the word of God. And John 17, where Jesus prays for those who will believe in him through the word of the apostles. And these people walked in obedience to that. They humbled themselves to the word of God and received it in accordance with the way they needed to. And in so doing, they were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So they portrayed the truth in their activities and their actions. Amen?
Amen. Something to aspire to do.
And it all comes from receiving the word at the apostles' mouths, be it the written word of God, or the apostles and prophets, but or those whom, you know, the apostles and prophets of that he has today, which you can go back into Ephesians and see that line of authority and the purpose of those different positions. So why don't you read through the end of this chapter?
For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
So from you sounded out the word of the Lord. And that goes right in with John 17, because what did it say there? Let me go back here. It said that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And so the word of the Lord, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. So their testimony was testified to outside of Thessalonica. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus didn't need to say anything. I mean, they said it in their actions. They themselves, the Thessalonians, showed what manner of entering in Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus had unto them. You know, they came and administered the word, and the Thessalonians took it, stood it, walked it, and brought forth the, you know, the revelation themselves by their obedience to it, to that which was spoken unto them. and how they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, that's a submission. That's a humbleness. That's a lordship of God in your life. And idols are anything that you have in place over God. Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Anything that takes precedence over the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. It says in the Gospels that you can't serve two masters.
As you read these ones,
go ahead.
These verses, especially verse 8, you know, they received the word that Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus brought to them, and they, you know, their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope in the Lord, and they became followers of them and of the Lord. And now there were examples outwards, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. You know, so the things that they've received, they've been ministered to, they're now ministering. And I am reminded of the picture of the Sea of Galilee versus the Dead Sea, where you have the same river, you have the river of life, if you will, the Jordan River, that goes to both. But the Sea of Galilee receives it and gives it out. It doesn't just hold on to it for itself. The Dead Sea, it doesn't go anywhere else. And here you have these people who have received it, and part of their receiving it and showing that they've received it is that they then share it. You know, they give it out. They're like the Sea of Galilee. You know, the gospel's not just for us to feel all pushy and warm and fuzzy on a Sunday that we, you know, Jesus loves me so much, but that, you know, he loves you too on Monday and Tuesday, and, you know, that they, from you sounded out the word of the Lord as well. So each one of us, if we receive the word of the Lord, can minister it to others as well. That's what the gospel is meant to be, is, you know, given to one, received faithfully, passed on faithfully, received faithfully, passed on faithfully, etc. And that is what you see the Thessalonians doing here. And that's their testimony of the Thessalonians.
And, you know, they do it in the midst of affliction, not in the midst of ease.
Yeah.
I was reminded, and I'm not sure where it was, but when we looked at David in Hebrews, where he spoke of perceiving that the work that God was doing through his kingship was to God's glory, and also because Israel was God's people. David recognized it wasn't about him, even though he was the minister. You know what I mean? But he recognized that he was for God and his word's sake. It wasn't consumed upon lust for David. And that's very much what you're describing here, because somebody who consumes something on their own lust is that black hole or that Dead Sea that just hangs onto it, and it's void, it becomes void. But the person who perceives it as something to the service of God, to glorify him, and to and so that his word will come to pass and be established and be made manifest, that was the heart of David, and that's the heart that you just described of the Thessalonians, who took that which they received and exercised themselves in it unto one another, loving God and loving their neighbor. And did that in much affliction. And these were, a just regular old people who heard the word of God and believed it and put off their old man and put on the new man in Christ and stood and walked in it through obedience to the faith and to those who had the rule over them. It says, and you became followers of us and of God. And it was their faith. We know in another place it is the faith of those, not their every action or something. But the work of God is to believe on him whom he hath sent. And out of that comes a life that is changed and talk about check your motives. That's where the motives get changed, is when that takes place in your life and in your heart. I did want to read Ephesians because these people really fulfill a portion of Ephesians 4. And Karen, if you would turn there and read from verses 11 through 16.
Okay. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
And that's really a picture of what the Thessalonians did. He gave some apostles and some prophets, and that was for the perfecting of the saints, but if you don't submit to them, you're not going to be perfected. He gives something, but it doesn't mean it's going to bear fruit in you or me. I mean, it is when we submit to God's way and to receive his provision that it then brings forth the intended good end. And he gave some evangelists. That was for the work of the ministry, and some pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave these things for the purpose of us all coming in the unity of the faith. So, you know, God gives people to bring us to that unity, that oneness in the faith. That's a singular faith defined by God. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. And you referenced this, I think it was Karen, but being tossed to and fro and carrying about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I mean, don't we need those who are strong in the word and who know it, and the apostles and prophets that we can adhere to their counsel and their word, knowing that that which they bring is the actual word of God, and it is in that that we are delivered from the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, isn't that what the Thessalonians were doing? And we're going to see that that's what they did, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So every part is doing that which it's supposed to, in its provision and supply one to all the other parts, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And, you know, we're reading of a church, and where the Lord has given us, giving us a picture of a body of Christ that through their obedience to his word and to the apostles and his word at their mouth, are that the word of God is performing Ephesians chapter 4 in them. And it all comes through their, they believe the word in the way that God has given it to them, and that is at the mouth of the apostles. And even as the apostles in John 17 knew that the word that Jesus brought wasn't his own, but that of the Father, so these people knew that the word these apostles brought was not their word, but that of the Father. And because of that, they had an entrance, a large entrance, into the kingdom of God, with all the promises of it being yes and amen for them. The seed Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus sowed in these people fell on good ground. Fell on good ground. And we need our ground to be good, that word which is spoken to us can fall on good ground and bear such good fruit in us too. Amen?
Amen.
It comes through obedience, and obedience to God's word and to those who he brings his word to us through. And you know what? We need to look in the scripture and make sure the scripture test is in agreement, and you'll see the Thessalonians did this too, but we need to go back and read John 17, and if we want those prayers that Jesus prayed, starting in verse 20, I think, to be, for us to be a part of those he prayed for, then we have to receive the word of God at the mouth of those who he sends it through, the apostles and the prophets. So with that, it is 8 o'clock, and I thank everybody for joining us, and I thank both of you guys for being up here and sharing the word, and God bless everyone.
God bless everyone. Good night.